So our reading from the book of Acts is kind of the traditional account of the Holy Spirit coming to the disciples. The disciples are gathered together in a room for the Jewish Feast of Weeks, sometimes referred to in antiquity as Pentecost by Greek-speaking Jews, because Pentecost means 50, and the feast comes 50 days after Passover. The Feast of Weeks was originally a spring harvest festival that also came to commemorate God's giving the Torah to Moses. And in modern times, Pentecost has come to mean the Christian celebration of what happened in that room, God's giving the Holy Spirit to the disciples. While gathered, we read, the disciples heard a loud noise like a rushing wind. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire coming to rest on the head of everyone who was there, and we're told that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And the story, as the story goes on, we see how they were inspired then to go into the streets, and they began talking to everyone that they could find there. They were filled with courage and inspiration and given a gift of communication and connection. Peter's quotation from the book of Joel implies that they were prophesying, truth-telling, seeing visions, blessed with dreams. It's a very dramatic scene, wild and chaotic. But it's not the only story. We also hear tonight from the Gospel of John, who tells about the coming of the Holy Spirit to the disciples as well. The disciples again are gathered in a room together, this time locked away in fear to protect themselves. And here it's the risen Jesus who directly gives the Spirit to the disciples. But the Spirit doesn't come in John's story in a loud rush with flames. Jesus simply breathes on them and invites them to receive the Spirit as a gift from God. It's very calm and peaceful. It feels intimate, maybe even a little sensual. I'm glad that we have both of these stories because I do think we experience the Spirit differently at different times. I've had experiences where I've felt inspired and revved up and just wanting to go out and change the world. I remember my baptism as an older child that way. It felt like a dramatic, life-changing event. On the other hand, I would say that I mostly encounter the Holy Spirit in more subtle ways, an inner voice that whispers to me when I have a decision to make, or a little boost of energy when I hear about a need or issue that tells me maybe I should look into it a little bit more, or a word I hear someone else speak that just nags at the corner of my mind. The Spirit comes to us in many ways, according to our own needs and gifts. Now, because of that, we might wonder sometimes if it's really the Holy Spirit speaking to us, or is it our own ego, or cultural influences? And perhaps one of the ways we can tell is by knowing those characteristics of the Spirit. And we've already mentioned some of these. The Spirit is inspiring, giving us courage and filling us with passion. At the same time, the Spirit brings us a sense of peace because with the gift of the Spirit, we know that God has our back. Another important element of the Spirit that I find in both our stories is the life-giving nature of the Spirit. In John, the Spirit comes not as a replacement for Jesus, but one known through the resurrected Christ, who soothes our fear and brings us joy. The Spirit is a complement to Christ. In a way, it's resurrection, the knowledge and trust that out of death and darkness will come new life and light that unlocks the Spirit for us. And then it's also the Spirit that teaches us the truth of that resurrection, God's promise of new life. The Spirit in John also arrives on a breath, like a lover breathing softly on your neck. It might also make us think of mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, the breath of life giving us a renewed chance at life. Or we might be reminded that in Genesis, God begins all of creation with a breath of wind flowing across the primordial chaos, bringing life to the universe. And in Acts, we see this renewal of life and the excitement of the disciples. They literally can't stay inside after they've experienced the Spirit. They were filled with passion for God's love and led into the world to share it with others. They were filled with visions and dreams of what the world could become and were driven to share and start creating that new life that they foresaw. The inspiration to engage with the world is another element of the Spirit. We see it in Acts, and Jesus makes it explicit. Immediately before giving them the Holy Spirit, Jesus tells the disciples that they are to go into the world as God has sent Jesus. In other words, the Holy Spirit is given to them to explicitly help and guide them as they continue Jesus' ministry to the poor and oppressed, to aid the cause of justice for the marginalized. And we might therefore say that the Spirit is about relationship, helping each other, nurturing each other's lives. And Jesus confirms this too by not only telling the disciples to continue their ministry in the world, but by also connecting the Spirit directly to the forgiveness of sins. Jesus says, "Receive the Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you retain anyone's sins, they are retained." And of course, to forgive sins is about healing estrangement, bringing people together in reconciliation, bringing what has been wrongly separated back together where it belongs. And that might be you and I, or humanity and nature, or humanity and God. To say the Spirit gives us the power to forgive sins is saying the Spirit gives the power to heal broken relationship, giving those relationships new life. And I also want us to consider that last part of what Jesus said, though, because it's kind of a weird thing to say, at least to my ears, when he says, if you retain anyone's sins, they are retained. It seems to me that if we refuse to forgive anyone, then they will remain unforgiven. That's what I'm hearing in that statement, that we have the power to heal or we have the power to leave things broken, which does seem true enough, but it makes me wonder why Jesus would actually say that. If he teaches us to forgive, he doesn't qualify it. So why would he lift up the idea of not forgiving, almost holding a grudge? Well, there's a whole other possibility. If we look at the original Greek in the gospel, if we look at the original Greek in the Gospel of John, we would see that in that last sentence of Jesus' quote, the word sin doesn't actually appear. It's been added by translators who think they're clarifying, which means that the second sentence could be also translated something like, whoever you hold, they are held fast. Whoever you hold, they are held fast, which completely changes the meaning. It suddenly tells us that whoever we bring close, bring into our community and support and nurture, God will hold them as well. That's quite a different thing than some confusing statement about holding a grudge. And it actually makes a lot more sense because the Spirit is about giving life and repairing relationship, not tearing it down. So how might the Holy Spirit be seeking to breathe new life into our lives, into our community? Where do our passions lie? What do we find inspiring? And we might be able to reason out some kind of answer to those questions, making spreadsheets and lists and holding votes. But with the Spirit, sometimes it can be helpful to ask not what makes the most sense, but what is my heart telling me? In the poem we heard earlier, Rumi invites us to pay more attention to our hearts, not to analyze things so much, but to lay our heads upon Christ's chest and drift into the answer, sitting inside the burning at the flame's core. What is our heart telling us today? The Holy Spirit is not only a guide and an advisor, the Spirit is also an invitation to move beyond our selfish egos and out into a world filled with visions and dreams of new life, a new life of justice and hope, to heal relationships, to love our neighbor. And so let us open our hearts to that Spirit, that we might find courage and inspiration. For we, like the disciples, are also sent into the world to be God's loving hands, feet, and voice, to create something new for all of God's children. Amen.